This is Forum. I'm John Michaels, Public Affairs Radio Director. You're going to be talking with Tom Hoy, who is the Senior Health Information and Insurance Education. You're the Director of Studies in Aging, too, I think, is part of your expertise. And you're from the Center for Active Generations, which is, I like to refer to it as kind of behind the Western Mall.
That's exactly right. That's a good way to say it, because everybody needs a point from which to drive to.
Well, I'm kind of on the leading edge of the baby boomers, and there's a whole bunch of us coming, so I think there's a lot of questions about especially Medicare, you know, what Medicare you should have or not have, or the new health plan coming up, Social Security. And a lot of times people just kind of go by maybe what their brother or aunt said, and it may not be, you know, technically correct. If you're a veteran, that makes a difference. If you're handicapped, that makes a difference, I guess, in a sense. But what is the typical, Social Security can be 62 or now 66 as to, I think, getting your full benefits. 62 is you can take it early. Medicare is 65 still, right?
That's correct. I'll just give you a little primer on Medicare. Most people start Medicare at age 65. That's when they're eligible for it. The first day of the month of their birth. There will be some people who will continue to work after age 65, and they will continue to take their employer-provided insurance. By doing so, can defer signing up for some of Medicare, and I'll go into a little bit more detail. In South Dakota, there are about 135,000 people on Medicare. About 12% of that population is on Medicare earlier than age 65 by having been deemed by Social Security Administration to have a disability, which puts them in a category of receiving Medicare typically after about 26 months. But most people will begin at age 65. There are four major parts to Medicare, and just to give a little orientation, Medicare Part A, we call that hospital insurance. That's the short version of what it contains. Medicare Part B is medical insurance. Under Part A hospital insurance, it covers, of course, the hospital benefit, provides for a skilled nursing benefit in a Medicare-approved skilled nursing facility if you've met the qualifications, three midnights in a hospital as a inpatient first. Medicare Part A provides a hospice benefit, provides a home care benefit, and it provides those are the four things: hospice, home care, skilled nursing, and hospital. I had to think for a minute. Medicare Part B covers doctor's office visits. It covers surgeries done by doctors. It covers surgical costs done in a doctor's office. It covers durable medical equipment. It covers things such as physical therapy, speech-language pathology, occupational therapy. Covers lab tests and evaluations and the diagnostic items that are done. Mental health services would be the primary items. One of the things that Medicare has really improved over the years is the preventive services. If you go to a doctor that takes assignment, a doctor or provider, taking assignment meaning that office takes what Medicare pays, many of these preventive tests are absolutely free. And in the Medicare new handbook, which every beneficiary gets every year about the last part of September, on page 51 in this book, it provides a handy-dandy little form to kind of keep track of what preventive services you've had. But Medicare recognizes today that spending some money up front to keep people healthy not only keeps people more self-sufficient, but it saves the Medicare program money. Going to Medicare C, that's what's known as Medicare Advantage. That is getting your Medicare not from the government, but from a private company. So, for instance, if you sign up for a Medicare Advantage plan, you put away your red, white, and blue Medicare card because you'll get a card that comes from the particular company, and you'll pay a premium to that company. But the rules change a little bit, and you have to know specifically what you're getting before you contract with that organization. When you're looking at Medicare Advantage, there are several options and several good options, but the onus is on the beneficiary a little bit more to understand those benefits, because those plans are not standardized. So when you've seen one plan, you've seen one plan. And you do have to typically use doctors in a certain network in order to get the service you want or at least the best price. Medicare Advantage has been around for several years, and we expect it to be going on for several more years as well. Medicare Part D is the drug plan that started in 2006. As of this time in South Dakota, 97% of people on Medicare have some form of ongoing drug coverage. So that's been a real benefit to many, and we'll go into a lot more detail about Medicare Part D. I want to point out that people pay a premium every month for Medicare Part B. B as in boy. The current premium, $104.90 is what it is. People pay that premium monthly, and they can take it out of their Social Security check if they prefer to do it that way. Medicare Part A, the hospital portion, has a deductible as well. That deductible is $1,184 for every 60-day period of time. Medicare B has a once-a-year deductible of $147. Most people should take Part A when they turn age 65 simply because it's free to them. I've only run into two people in South Dakota that haven't been eligible for premium-free Part A. Part B comes with a premium, and if a person continues to have coverage through an employer, you can elect not to take Part B until you need it at a later time. And what we like to tell people is if your employer group coverage is ending June 30th, for example, you'd want your Medicare B to start on July 1st, so there would be no lapse in coverage. And there are a whole bunch of choices, and it's a little bit of alphabet soup that goes along with understanding that. And that's frankly why the SHINE program, S-H-I-I-N-E, came to be. SHINE was created in 1992. The federal government, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which is a part of U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, created a program so every state could have an organization like ours to provide information to people about Medicare. And so the kind of things that our SHINE organization does and other, we're called SHIPs, S-H-I-P, on a national basis. The kind of things that our organization and the other organizations do is to recruit volunteers and train them to, out in the counties and the communities where they live, provide information to people on Medicare so that people can make informed decisions. And so, for instance, in South Dakota, we have three organizations that do SHINE work. We're all contractors. We have three regions. My region happens to be the East Region, which takes in approximately the first 100 miles. If you look from the Iowa and Minnesota border, the first 100 miles on the east side would be our region. The Central Region bases out of Pierre, and the Western South Dakota region comes out of Rapid City. We have a website, www.shiine.net, and this is a place for people to go for a whole lot of information, including contact information for other places. I'll give the contact information now, and I'm sure that John will have a link to the radio program for this as well. In eastern South Dakota, if you're from Sioux Falls, the easiest way to get a hold of us is to call 333-3314 or outside of Sioux Falls, 1-800-536-8197. If you want to email us, it would be shine, S-H-I-I-N-E, at cfag.org. In central South Dakota, the number to call would be 877-331-4834. And in western South Dakota, it would be 877-286-9072. But you can call any of those numbers, and if for some reason we need to transfer you to a different region, we'll take care of that for you. You don't need to worry about that. In my particular region, we have 101 volunteers have been trained, well-trained, to talk about Medicare and answer people's questions. And it's probably Medicare D that actually increased the volume of beneficiaries coming for services maybe three or fourfold starting back in 2006. Every year between October 15th and December 7th, there is a period called open enrollment where everybody has a chance to look at their Part D plan and decide whether it's whether the next year's plan is the best for them or whether they should look at doing another plan. Their current plan will send them information out that will talk about their copays and their deductibles and all that kind of information. But we use a website which the government owns at www.medicare.gov. It's called the Plan Finder. And during those 8 or 9 weeks of open enrollment, our volunteers across the state, and especially our office in Sioux Falls, will take care of about, probably close to 3,000 people, helping them look at plans that would, we can do a side-by-side evaluation of plans to show them which plan would save them the most money for the current drugs they take. It can be very, very helpful. People can also go see their pharmacist, or they can surely see an insurance person, or they can go to Medicare.gov themselves and do this work. But our office, we are a free service. We're available to anyone to come and to get help if they don't have someone else that they trust for that help or want to do it on their own. So that's kind of basically the gist of our program and a little bit about the greater basis of our services. Some of the other things that I do in my office, besides being involved in recruiting and training the volunteers, is we take calls statewide from people that call in on our toll-free number. We answer questions about Medicare itself and what it covers. People have sometimes questions about insurance and what that covers. We're able to do some comparisons for people. We prefer sitting down one-on-one with people in many cases rather than talking over the phone, because I can describe something, but I can't show it to you unless we're in person. I work to maintain the statistics of things. I do a number of presentations in my region and go to health fairs and provide educational opportunities for people to find out about the SHINE program and what we offer, because there are probably 10 to 12,000 new people coming on Medicare each year. It's important for us to continue to get the word out through different venues about how that happens. And so fortunately, John, because we've been on the radio here, this is a good opportunity, and there are other venues as well. That's now a little bit more about what I do.
If you're on Social Security already early, when you turn 65, they automatically sign you up, right?
If you're on Social Security at age 62 or any time before, your 100% benefit would start, yes. They will send you a Medicare card out about 3 months before your birthday. It'll say, here's your Medicare card, Mr. Jones. It's got Part A on it. It's got Part B. If for some reason you don't want Part B, mail this back to us, and we'll send you a card that just has Part A on it.
But now, you said that Part A was free?
Part A, the hospital portion, is free, yes. The reason, and let me simplify that, the reason that Part A is free, or it's free to just about everyone, is because they or someone they're married to has worked at least 40 calendar quarters, which is the same as 10 years. That's what qualifies them for free Part A.
Well, good. The main aspect, I think, is people need to plan for this. How far early should they, you know, really learn about this? Don't wait until it's already, you know, in place. When should they start learning about this?
It's good for people to start their search perhaps 6 months before they turn 65. If they contact our office, let's say 3 months before that time, we can put them in contact with a local volunteer, or alternately in Sioux Falls, we can make an appointment with them to sit down and go through this information. And in Sioux Falls at Active Generations, once a month I put on a presentation. 1 month it's at 10 o'clock in the morning, and the next month is at 5 o'clock p.m., which allows people who are working some variation to attend. But I go through all the parts of Medicare and what it is and how to sign up, and that gives people enough information to formulate the questions that they may want to ask later at a at a meeting.
The upcoming total health plan that's starting to work in now says you have to have insurance. Does Medicare qualify as the insurance?
Are you talking about the Affordable Care Act?
Yes.
The Affordable Care Act is really separate from Medicare. The Affordable Care Act works with people that are less than Medicare age. I will mention a couple of things that the Affordable Care Act has done to strengthen the Medicare program. One of them I've talked about is that there are now several preventive services, like colonoscopy is one, that again, if you go to a doctor that accepts assignment, which means accepts what Medicare is willing to pay, that there's no cost out of pocket for anyone for that. The Affordable Care Act brought that in. Another thing the Affordable Care Act did was to strengthen the Medicare Part D, the drug plan. It used to be after a person had spent about, in round numbers, around $2,800, they in the plan, you might say, in terms of their Medicare Part D drugs. Then they entered a period called the donut hole or the coverage gap. And then they were responsible, and this amount changes every year, but on a round figure, I'll say they were responsible for about the next $4,700 worth of expenses. What has happened now is the Affordable Care Act has lowered the cost of those drugs during that period, so that this year the beneficiary pays about 79 cents on the dollar for generics as far as what they would have paid otherwise. And the cost of their name brand has been reduced to about 47.5 cents on the dollar of what they would have paid otherwise. So the Affordable Care Act has actually strengthened the Medicare program that way. But aside from that, the Affordable Care Act is actually for people that are not Medicare eligible.
Does your income affect it in any way?
Your income will affect what you pay for a Part B premium. It will also affect what you pay for a Part D premium. And I would have to look it up in the book to show, but I generally can say that if you're an individual and you have less than $80,000 income, adjusted gross, you're probably going to pay what everybody else pays. And if you're married, it's a little higher than that. But just about everybody just pays a base premium.
So you're saying that the Affordable Health Care Plan is only for those under the age of Medicare. So I've been told that you're going to have to, on your income tax, show that you have insurance. But that doesn't, you won't need to fill that out then if you're on Medicare.
I believe that's true.
We're still working out some of the technicalities on this new plan that's coming in. What about nursing homes? People that have to go in for 24-hour care.
Sure, okay. Medicare has a brief benefit for what's called skilled nursing stay. In order to qualify under traditional Medicare that you get from the government, you have to be in a hospital as an inpatient, which is to differentiate that from what's called observation. An inpatient for 3 bed nights. And then a doctor needs to write a plan of care and certify that you have certain needs to qualify for skilled nursing care. Within the facility, they'll write a plan of care and they'll review it almost daily. Typically, obviously, you'll have to have the need for skilled nursing services. That's the kingpin of the whole thing. Quite often, physical therapy, speech-language pathology, occupational therapy. If you meet the qualifications for skilled nursing care, and by the way, you can actually exercise that benefit within 30 days post-discharge from the hospital, then Medicare pays the full amount for the first 20 days. There is also a benefit for days 21 through 100, where Medicare pays all but $148 of the cost, and the cost is considerably higher than $148. If a person has Medicare supplement insurance, depending on what letter or level of plan coverage they have, that Medicare supplement insurance may pay that difference, that $148 difference. And within the Medicare Advantage plan, because there's no standardization, it's plan specific how they work that arrangement. But Medicare was put together to cover acute short-term care, not really long-term care. And so if people think that Medicare is going to be there when they need long-term care for 3 or 4 years, no, that's not the case.
What does happen if they're, say, get Alzheimer's and they're going to have to go to a nursing home or living, you know, where they need assistance type thing. How do they do that?
Well, it's a little different for every state, but in South Dakota, a person, first of all, you have to have a doctor's order to go to a nursing facility. Typically, a person is private pay. That is, they pay the room charge for the level of care that they need, and whether it's a private or semi-private room. If you need to apply for Medicaid, which is for people of who have low assets and low resources, you make application for Medicaid through the Department of Social Services in any of the counties in the state, and you will typically have to go through what's called a spend down. That is, you have to spend your resources down, the money you have in the bank, investments, those kind of things, to a certain level. There is a provision where if it's a spouse situation, the spouse is allowed to keep the car, allowed to keep a house, personal effects, and those things. And those, they will lay aside that much and then so much money a month. But the person then will apply the rest of that toward the Medicaid. And Department of Social Services has a real good system for working with people on that. They're very helpful in that sense. But it's a very technical type thing, and about a generality is about as much as I can do.
And confusion between Medicare and Medicaid is...
Yes, that's true.
Is a part of it. Our time is running out quickly. I want to make sure we get in the fact that there's been recent fraud issues.
Yes, yes. Of recent, we've had a lot of calls to our office that people are calling on the phone and they're saying that they represent Medicare, and they don't. Medicare will not call anyone on the phone unless you have called Medicare. Social Security will not call anyone on the phone unless you have called them. But these crooks, I'll call them, are calling and saying, if you don't give us your Medicare card information, we're going to stop your Medicare. That can't happen. And they're doing that because they want people to give them numbers and also bank accounts and all kinds of things. And then what people do with that information, the crooks do, is they basically clean a person out, or they get a Medicare number and then they bill fictitiously or falsely for services that you didn't receive. I want to tell you about an organization that's helpful with that called the Senior Medicare Patrol. And there's a lady by the name of Candace Gregory in Sioux Falls. Here's her phone number, 336-2475. If you suspect Medicare fraud, you can call Candace Gregory at the Senior Fraud Patrol, or call me and I can convey that information, or you can also contact the Consumer Price, the Consumer Protection Division of Attorney General's Office in Pierre at 800-300-1986. But don't give your Social Security or your Medicare card information to anyone who calls on the phone. Don't give any bank account information to anyone. If for some reason you have, call your bank at once, because you're probably in a situation where they may clean you out.
Well, it's still a little bit confusing for those who are just getting started with this, but those who have maybe been on a plan for 4 or 5 years, it's important to re-examine that every year, and that's your open enrollment counseling and the re-examination each year. Things do change.
You're talking about Medicare D, yes. We encourage everyone every year to consider to do a cost comparison for coverage and those kind of things, simply because if you don't, over time, you're probably going to be paying more money than you need to. And because every year a plan has a new formulary, if you don't read the 3/4-inch packet of stuff they send you, you may be on medications that your plan no longer covers.
Well, what is the biggest myth about Medicare?
I would guess that the biggest myth about Medicare among people today is they have concerns that Medicare is going away, and I'm sure that Medicare will not go away. Medicare has made several improvements over time, and they continue to do that and to strengthen the program. Just this year alone, I don't know what the number was exactly, but they were able to recapture and stop a whole lot of this fraud that's been going on, where people have been billing for things that are not supposed to be billed for, and they've saved huge amounts of money in that alone. Secondly, you know, people may say, well, Medicare must be a real expensive program to administer. Medicare's costs for administering the Medicare program are 1.7 cents on the dollar. Less than 2 cents of every dollar goes to administration. Show me any business that can operate on that.
Not even charities can operate on that mainly. Now, again, for those who are veterans, they look at it maybe a little bit different way.
Yes, there are some people that don't need to have Medicare D. If you have coverage through an employer group plan that covers your drugs, you probably don't need D. Most plans will send you a letter saying that your coverage is creditable, meaning it's as good as Medicare's or not. If you're an enrolled member of a Native American tribe, you don't need to have Medicare D because you can get your drugs through Indian Health Services. If you're a veteran and you have access to medications, whether you take them or not, you don't need to have Part D because you have a program that's as good as Medicare's. And if you're a retired federal employee, you don't need to have Medicare D because you already have a plan as good as Medicare's.
So really calling and asking is what you're there for. How many volunteers did you say you have here in Sioux Falls?
Well, in Sioux Falls, we probably have 25 volunteers. I also have two co-workers by the name of Gerald Robinson and Karen Healy, and the three of us all added together work about 80 hours a week. People can make appointments with us to get get their questions answered, but outside of Sioux Falls, everyone is a volunteer that's been trained to do this work.
So you're looking for more volunteers?
Yes, and anytime they can apply online for a volunteer position. The only thing you cannot be as a volunteer is, first of all, you can't be a convicted felon, and secondly, you can't be a person that is actively selling insurance, health insurance, because you would lose your ability to be bias-free.
Impartial. What if they suspect that they're paying for things that they didn't receive?
They should call us and ask. And people get a lot of mail. I know that Medicare sends out Medicare summary notices every quarter now instead of every month. That's a little confusing for people, too, because they used to be able to follow it a little bit closer. But if people see something on their bill they don't understand, they should call the place where it was done, or they should call us, and we can help them investigate that. Two items I'd like to point out in just the remaining time we have. There's a program called Extra Help that pays for the Medicare D, the premium, and reduces the cost of the drugs for many people. One out of every four people in South Dakota is covered by Extra Help through Medicare D. And then there's also a group of people who qualify for what's called the Medicare Savings Program. And if they have incomes and resources, a level that qualifies for that, the state actually pays their Part B premium for them and in some cases pays their co-pays and deductibles. My suggestion would be is that a person just contact our office and we can give them the numbers over the line since they get to be a little bit sticky trying to get to remember all those numbers on the radio.
If you have an elderly parent or whichever, do you have to be a guardian to be able to do things for them through Medicare?
No, typically not. In fact, when people call on, you can call 1-800-MEDICARE. If the person is there that gives permission for them to speak, then they'll be able to help in that sense.
Are you getting prepared for the baby boomers?
Well, I'm a baby boomer myself. So, yes, the baby boomers are a little more computer savvy. They're a little more apt to be interested in doing their own research in some cases. But depending on the level of health you have or the complexities of things, a lot of people call us when that time comes forth.
Well, don't wait until you have to be in a rush because there's plenty of information here and plenty of volunteers to help. And really just Google SHINE, S-H-I-I-N-E.
Correct.
Sioux Falls. It'll come up for you, Tom Horry. And in Central South Dakota, Kathleen Nagel and Debbie Stengel in Western South Dakota. And I want to thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thank you, John. Thank you so much.